Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Jenny Dink and she's a music therapist. Good morning to you, Jenny.
Good morning.
Jenny, before we talk about music therapy, which I think is a really interesting topic, we want to find out a little more about you. So
sure.
give us a little life history.
Alrighty. Well, I was born over on the eastern side of the state and grew up in Marion, Iowa. And after high school, I ventured down to Miami, Florida. I attended the University of Miami studying music therapy and taking all kinds of classes in biology and psychology as well as music and kind of learning about how the body responds to music and all those behaviors. And then I finished a music therapy clinical internship. I was at a hospital for 6 months providing music therapy to a variety of patients from babies in the NICU to general medical patients, psychiatric patients, and patients receiving rehabilitation services. Then I went back down to Miami to work for a while before venturing back to Iowa, and I've been in central Iowa now for about 3 years, providing music therapy in the Des Moines area and then over in western Iowa and Atlantic.
Okay, so you've sort of come back home. Jenny, when did your love of music begin? Is that when something you did when you were little, or is that a more recent kind of thing?
It started kind of around middle school. I started taking clarinet lessons through the school band program and was always involved in music through middle school and high school, and got to my senior year of high school and knew I wasn't ready to be quite done with music yet, so I looked for different careers in the music field, and then I had always been interested in psychology and human behavior, so music therapy was kind of a natural mesh of both of those interests.
And probably not a career that's probably out there for a lot of people going, music therapy, I have never heard of that before. So, you know, but it sounds like it was a really good fit for you.
Yes, it was a perfect fit for me. And I think the goal of every music therapist now is to get to that day where someone doesn't have to ask what is music
yes.
therapy, because it will be a commonly accepted and widely known field. So we're working on it.
Yes. Now, when I found out about you, you were playing for senior citizens at Heritage House. But
yes.
In our conversation now, you said you also played for babies. I mean, it covers the whole age range.
Yes, that is one of the great things about our field is music can be effective for so many different clinical populations. So even when I was in school, we did, you know, field experience, and I worked with everything from, you know, children in early intervention preschool, children with special needs, to, you know, women on a cancer unit of a hospital, to psychiatric patients, geriatric patients, you know, kind of the entire age spectrum. So there really are a lot of opportunities for people going into this field because it can be applied in so many different areas.
So tell us a bit more about music therapy. You know, you said you studied psychology. What does music do for us? Most of us just turn it on and listen to it and dance to it and so on, and maybe don't think about the bigger part of what music might do.
Absolutely. So the great thing about music is it's comprised of so many different components. You know, you have the melody, you have the sound of the instruments, you have the speed of the music, you have rhythm, and all of those things are processed by the brain, and they're processed all over the brain. So if you have someone who maybe has a stroke or some sort of neurologic impairment where part of the brain is affected, music can still be beneficial for that person because it's activating the non-affected parts of the brain. So, for example, I've worked with stroke patients before who, while they're not able to speak because the stroke has affected that center of their brain, they're still able to sing with me because the music is kind of rerouting around their brain and activating different areas. Same with, you know, patients with dementia. They might not be able to tell you what they had for breakfast an hour ago, but they can sing every word to "You Are My Sunshine" because it's stored in a different part of the brain and it's being activated when we start singing.
So when you say therapy, that says to me that by doing this, the person has the possibility of improving, of learning more.
Yes. So our goal in music therapy, we're always using music as the tool to work on non-musical behaviors. So when I'm working with a child with autism, I'm not trying to teach them how to sing or to play an instrument. I'm trying to work on a behavior such as attention skills or, diminishing a negative behavior or working on social skills. So using musical activities to address those non-musical goals.
And you work with people both in groups and as individuals?
Yes. So a lot of my work right now is with hospice patients or geriatric patients. So many of them are in nursing facilities and are pretty isolated. They don't get a lot of visitors during the day, and they don't receive a lot of stimulation. So for me to come in with my guitar and sing with them, we're able to reminisce and we're able to take their mind off of the pain they might be having, or give them an opportunity to socialize and decrease that isolation that they may be experiencing while at a facility.
You mentioned You Are My Sunshine. What other favorite songs are there when you go into the hospice or care centers?
We use a lot of the kind of traditional folk songs. Those seem to be the ones, especially with the patients with dementia, that are stored in those primitive areas of the brain and can be easily recalled. So we do a lot of I've Been Working on the Railroad, My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. Again, You Are My Sunshine. And then we do have quite a few with a very strong faith background. So Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art and all of those traditional hymns that really connect with people.
Interesting. And did you have to learn the words to those songs? They didn't just come. They weren't stored in your brain.
Right. Right. All of the music we use is what we call patient-preferred music. So I have two very large cumbersome binders full of everything from hymns to country western to jazz big band, 50s, 60s, 70s. So my first question whenever I meet a new client is, what is your favorite type of music? Mm-hmm. I always kind of joke that, you know, if I wasn't feeling well and someone came to visit me and said, well, I came to sing with you and I brought all of my favorite opera music, I say, well,
goodbye.
It's going to make me feel better because I don't enjoy that music. So yes, all of the music that I use is both live music and patient-preferred music. And I spent quite a bit of time, especially during my music therapy internship, learning all of those songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned you play the guitar, really easy to pick up and take with you. You mentioned earlier that you learned to play the clarinet. Are there other instruments you play?
When we are studying music therapy, they have you learn what they call the social instruments. So that's guitar, piano, and auto harp. So those are all instruments that you can accompany yourself while you're singing. I just use guitar most frequently because it is the most portable for me going in and out of facilities.
Sure, easy to carry and easy to wherever you're setting up kind of thing. What about involving? You mentioned that you get people to sing along with you. Are there other ways that you involve people with the music?
Yes, we do have, you know, basic percussion instruments, different shakers or bells. I especially like to bring that at Christmas time, you know, if we're singing Christmas songs and things, to give little bells or handheld instruments. We have a pretty neat instrument called the cue cord, which is actually an electronic instrument that has a touch pad. So all the client needs to do is touch this touch pad, and you can set it to sound like a piano or a chime or an organ. So I like to use that especially with clients who may have, you know, played organ at church when they were younger,
mm-hmm.
or have musical instrument who maybe don't have the dexterity anymore to be able to, you know, sit down at the piano and play something. But just by touching this touch pad, they're able to get that that auditory feedback, that auditory response, and you know, feel that sense of accomplishment that they are playing along with me. And then in addition, a lot of times family members are present during our sessions, and a lot of times they'll either sing along or engage in conversation, and we'll do a lot of reminiscing about, you know, growing up on the farm and do singing songs as they did their chores on the farm, or taking family vacations and singing along in the car. So a lot of times it's a really special moment for a family to be able to have the opportunity to engage with one another, and reminisce about mm-hmm. their involvement with music.
Jenny, I see that you are employed, I believe, by Unity Point Music, or Unity Point. If somebody wanted to know more information, if they said, you know, this is really interesting, how could they find that out?
Absolutely. They can contact the, the Unity Point office in Atlantic, as well as I work for West Music over in Urbandale, and musictherapy.westmusic.com has a lot of information about our services, not only for hospice and home care, but also, children with autism or services and things like that.
Okay. We've been visiting with Jenny Dink, who is a music therapist, and we want to thank you very much, Jenny. And until next time, let's just keep that music going.